lifestyle. It's the bachelor lifestyle. Can I sleep for a minute? It's my first impression, Rose. Prime back to Jay Stewart breaking down all the shows. It's the Bachelor on ABC with Chris Harrison. You crying in a limo sent home. How embarrassing. The most dramatic ever. And that's what we like. Play your cards right. You might end up on paradise. Here's the key to the fantasy suite.
You are listening to The Bachelor Lifestyle from theballerlifestyle.com. It is the finale. One of the better seasons, actually. The best Bachelor season in recent memory, I would say. Feels like they've kind of found their footing. They definitely had the right Bachelor. We're here to talk about it. I am joined, as always. Did I mention I'm Brian Beckner? I'm Brian Beckner, and I am joined, as always, by the great Jason Stewart. Jason, how are you?
Hello, everybody.
And if you get your Bachelor information by listening to a two-minute Bachelor show on local AM radio, you're just not going to hear our guest. You're not going to get the premier Bachelor voice on the internet on that show. You're going to get him right here. We're joined by our dear friend, the great Reality Steve. Steve, how are you, buddy?
You could hear me mentioned if you listen to PMS in the LA area.
That's right.
To bring me up every once in a while.
Well, yeah, but you're not a guest is the point.
Let's address that elephant in the room before we move on.
We have beef with them.
Can you verify or deny the fact that you had your publicist not return calls to the Petros and Money show?
Wow.
Wait, are you kidding me? They said that?
No, I was just trying to make a joke, but go ahead and take me literally. That's fine.
I actually took you too seriously for the first time ever.
I just, because the shtick on our show is that you choose not to do their show and you choose to do ours. So the joke that you would have your publicist reject them or not call them back was all in levity, but there's no need to be funny. We need some hardcore Bachelor information out of this podcast.
And just to clarify, though, before we move on, they fired the first shots. On his Bachelor report, Petros said that the Bachelor, everybody's got a Bachelor podcast these days. Yep. Even Jay Stu has a Bachelor podcast, which Jay Stu has been on this podcast for many years. And that's what I said. Yeah, where our podcast is so insignificant, we book Reality Steve every single season. So what's the Bachelor report ever done? Not a goddamn thing.
Jay, did you ever produce Petros and Money or no?
No, I never technically produced the show, not even like a fill-in shift, but I produced them when they filled in for Jim Rome.
Yeah.
That's right.
So they probably filled in, I don't know, 25 times or whatever. And, you know, their show was right after ours. And we, like on opening day, like today, they would do like combined shows, the Petros and Money and Rogan and Rodney from Dodger Stadium.
Combo plate.
And I would produce those shows, but that's probably more information than you were looking for.
Right.
No, that's good. I know you worked at 570 before you went to Fox Sports Radio, so I didn't know if there was any overlap and you ever had them for like a certain amount of time before you moved on into bigger and better things with the future head coach at Oklahoma State. Oh, wait, he's not going to get that gig.
just to be clear on that front, the AD at Oklahoma State told Doug that he's not a candidate.
Yeah.
And no matter how many people people turned down that job, and I think they're still to this moment having an issue filling that job, if I'm not mistaken, Gottlieb is not a candidate.
But he openly campaigns for it every time it's open, right?
Oh, yeah. No. He's made it clear to the world that he wants to. Even on our show, he spent a good amount of real estate talking about how much he wants the job.
Yeah. Well, they'd be stupid not to hire him. He's a former Tustin Tiller, much like the new head coach of the UCLA Bruins, Deshaun Foster.
Yeah.
And he's an Oklahoma State alum, a legacy where he played for the great Eddie Sutton. They'd be stupid not to hire him. Bring him in.
It looks like I read today they're finalizing a deal for the head coach at Western Kentucky to get the Oklahoma State job.
Wow. The Hilltoppers.
Yeah.
Oh shit! I know you were quite a baller back in Orange County.
That's true.
In high school, but you're older than Doug, right? You're younger than me, but older than Doug.
If I'm older than Doug, I'm only older than him by 1 year. But I definitely remember. I'll repeat this story. I know Jason knows it, but I'll tell it again because it's so ridiculously funny. In that we went to some, summer before my senior year, he might have been going into his junior year. We went to played it together at some all-star camp, and I remember we were putting on our shoes and getting ready to go out on the court. And Gottlieb says to me, "Carbone, there's three guarantees in this world: death, taxes, and my jump shot." This guy literally was one of the worst shooting he shot like 40% from the free throw line when he got to college, but apparently the jump shot was guaranteed.
That's amazing.
I believe every word of that story except the fact that he called you Carbone.
Yeah.
Like Doug prides himself on big leaguing people. Like he would never make a person feel like he actually knows them. He's going to be, he probably called you like, "Hey, yo, man," or "I'll tell you what, brother," or whatever. He never used your name.
This would have been the summer of 1992. So I could be off and maybe he didn't say my name, but I do remember all of us, just a group of us about to go onto the court for a 5-on-5 game. It might've been a pickup game or something.
Funny.
It was at some event, and he says that to me. We're just all talking. He said, "Death, taxes, and my jump shot."
That's amazing.
He was not a shooter at all.
Amazing.
Speaking of jump shots, let's get right into the finale of Joey's season.
That's a great segue. I have no idea what jump shots have to do with the finale, but go continue.
Well, jump shots are when it's a TV term.
I love that.
Yeah. So
just, it's always good when you have to explain the terminology. The joke really hits when you have to tell everybody what the meaning of the joke was.
Just to kind of like give the listeners what they're used to with the format, I want to get right to all the dirt because, Carbone, Reality Steve has been promoting this episode for so long because there's so much in the off-show drama that we don't traffic in, and he's going to inform us. But I do feel like I need to spend just a little bit of time on recapping this. Spoiler alert, Daisy is not picked. And when I say she's not picked, Kelsey won the show. She got she was proposed to. Daisy, the hard of hearing, half-deaf cochlear implant patient who we fell in love with. She
video not, vixen.
Yeah, she did not get chosen. And to kind of, foreshadow what Carbone's going to tell us here in a little bit, she also wasn't chosen for The Bachelorette. I think it was her choice to turn down. So Daisy had an interesting finale.
Yeah.
Maybe the most graceful, heart wrenching exit that we've ever seen out of this show. And I will say this, Joey has been one of the more stand up, honest, transparent guys. I think he finished with probably the cleanest edit that any lead has had.
Absolutely.
And Daisy as well maybe had the best edit that a second place finisher has ever had. The show and the finale was pretty drama free. It was just all a bunch of good feelings and we love each other and la di da.
It felt very contrived in my opinion. And if we're ranking bachelors, Joey had a great run. So if we're ranking bachelors, number one, of course, Byron Velvick, the greatest bachelor of all time, the bass fisherman from Tampa, followed closely by Bob Guinea, obvious reasons. Third place now, though, Joey Graziati, the tennis coach from Philly.
Steve, do you agree with that ranking?
I absolutely think he's top three. It's subjective, obviously, of where somebody ranks somebody. It's tough to throw Velvic in. Just like, it was such a different time for the show back then. I can't say a 40-year-old fisherman was the best bachelor they've ever had.
Professional fisherman that parlayed it into a hosting gig on Bassmasters on sports on ESPN.
Yeah. I can't remember. I can't say his season was all that great because I don't really remember it all that much. But
you're an Andrew Feierstein guy.
And then you're picking Bob Guinea, who was the fourth bachelor. I mean, Joey was number 28. You're picking the sixth and fourth bachelor.
Well, are we gonna put Alex Michelle in there or the virgin Sean Lowe? Come on. How about Jake Pavelka? Jake Pavelka's not getting ranked, is he?
If we're talking about dramatic and drama seasons, I mean, Pavelka's right up there. I mean, we're talking about a guy who had to bring the final couple back months after their engagement so he could verbally assault his fiance on national television.
That's right.
Raise his hand to her and say, "Please stop interrupting me."
That's right.
Awesome. I cannot believe. I mean, put it this way, if that happens in 2024, would have been canceled for sure.
That's when they pivoted off of having bachelors who were 5'2". The last ever under 5'5 bachelor, Jake Pavelka.
I had Vienna on my podcast. I think it was during COVID. I think it was the summer of 2020. She came on my podcast and she flat out 100%. Confirmed he wore lifts in his shoes.
Of course he did. That's amazing. Yeah. So what else happened, Jason?
For those who didn't watch the episode, and that's a lot of our listeners, our demographic is mainly men who don't watch the show, but just that's tune true. In for our humor. Yep. And for those listeners, Daisy realized at some point along the way, each of the women met his family, and those exchanges were fine, and his sisters were very, very involved. Mm-hmm. And just so you know, just a reminder, Joey has a little fear, just a little one, because he almost never mentions it, that the person he chooses is not going to say yes. And he repeats that at least 900 times in the finale. But at the end, after meeting the parents and everything else, they go on a date, and Daisy's getting the feeling the entire date that Joey's not going to choose her. And Joey makes it pretty obvious. He's talking about, I just want us to be happy whether we're together or not. He's pretty intentful in his language, and he even admits it afterwards that he didn't want to mislead her. He knew who he was choosing, and she got the drift. And for the first time in the history of the show, the last two contestants talked before the final rose. And this is unprecedented, and because they're both friends, but Daisy basically went to Kelsey's room to see how her week went and if Joey had like committal language to her, because Joey certainly played it vague with Daisy. In fact, he gave her zero reassurance. As soon as Kelsey told Daisy that, yes, Joey indeed did give me validation, Daisy knew that she was on the outs.
Yeah.
And then she planned this exit that we've never seen before. Kelsey and her arrived to the final rose together, holding hands. Daisy walks up first. And, as soon as Joey starts to tell her his feelings, then she starts to talk, and for the first time ever, she says, the subject says, "Look, I know you're not going to pick me, and I'm going to go ahead and leave. And I hope your life with Kelsey's great." And then in the all-time walk-off line, and I don't know if this was producer fed or if this was of her or whatever, but it was great. He said, "Could I walk you out?" And she said, "No." What did she say, Brian? You nailed it earlier.
I can't remember now. I think she said, I need to make this walk by myself or something like that.
Or I can make it by myself or I need to. It was just an all-time mic drop.
Woman's empowerment.
It was great. It was amazing. And she went back to Kelsey and hugged her, and they both cried in each other's arms before Kelsey went up for the final rose. It was like again, we've been watching this for a long time. We get pretty desensitized to the format of the show and how predictable this shit goes. This was really a curveball in a usually a predictable finale.
It was very well. It was very well produced, in my opinion. I teared up a little bit. Yes, it felt a little contrived, but when she was like, "You told me I deserve to be happy," and she goes, "Well, that goes the same for you. You also deserve to be happy, and that's why I know I need to leave," or something like that. It was really, really well put together, I thought. Steve, you agree?
Yeah, one of the best endings we've ever seen.
Yeah, I agree.
Of course, it was spoiled months in advance by yours truly of what the this thing that they were promoting all season was. But, you know, obviously I didn't know the exact conversation that happened. What I did report about a month before the finale was the thing that they've been promoting all season that they say has never happened before was I had found out that Daisy went to Kelsey's room after her last date because she knew it wasn't her, and she went to talk to her. And then I said, she goes to the final rose ceremony that day and ends it with Joey. Now, the one thing that I did not report was that they went together. Although the first thing I was told when I was told this spoiler about the final two girl goes to the final one girl's room and talks to her, and she goes on the final rose ceremony to end things with him. I was told, I still have the text, or I still have the email on my Instagram. And in that, the first thing I was told was they arrived together, but I could never get it confirmed. And that's I'm right. So bummed now that I wasn't able to get that out there, because that was probably the oh shit moment. I mean, you even heard the live crowd in the audience that night. When they showed both women in the car together, they were like almost giving them a standing ovation. Like it was just that was the moment from Monday night's episode where everyone went, oh shit. And I'm bummed that I was told it, but I just never felt comfortable running with it because I didn't know for sure. But I did know that she had gone to her room and then that she had ended things with him, and she, and that was the thing that they were promoting all season, that basically the final two girls met, because once you get in that position, they keep those people far away from each other because they don't want any sort of, you know, conversation and, oh yeah, it went great for me. And you're, oh really? Shit. I didn't really have a great date, you know? So, but yeah, it was about as well done as you can get. You know, Daisy couldn't have looked any better in that moment. I'm not talking about looks wise. I'm just talking about her edit. I mean, it's just like, everybody's just, oh my gosh, what a gracious exit, women empowerment. So good to see that they're friends, all this stuff. Yep. And it leads right into, obviously, the live after the final rose. We get Daisy on the couch with Joey once again. No contention there. They both said the right things. And then you're just like, I mean, we can just jump forward to it because it all plays into everything. I don't think there was anybody in America that didn't think that she was going to be the Bachelorette. I mean, not only that,
no.
She has that storyline leading in. How many times, you know, you talk about Joey saying, I'm scared of not being chosen. How many times did we hear Daisy say in the finale, you know, I've never been chosen. I always want to be chosen. And it's just like, that's a Bachelorette setup. And then she walks out on stage for the first time. Probably the best she's ever looked all season. Not that she didn't look good the other, but I mean, she had the dress on, she had the full makeup, she had the full hair done. You're like, oh, when they announced the Bachelorette later on in the show, she's obvious. It's obviously her. They dressed her for the part, and then it doesn't happen. And you're just like, well, that was weird. That was definitely out of left field. I think everybody thought it was going to be Daisy. I thought it was going to be Daisy. When I saw her come out for the first segment, I thought it was going to be Daisy. Then they do two segments with Joey and Kelsey. And then Jesse, if you go back and listen to it, was very careful with his wording when he talked about when he brought Daisy back out again. And I had to listen to it again last night. But it was essentially, you know, we still have our next Bachelorette. And then he said, could it be this girl that you're familiar with? Let's bring her out, Daisy. And it wasn't, here's our next Bachelorette. But a lot of people thought he said, here's our next Bachelorette. So
it was, do you have any insight on that, Steve? Did it? Because it seems to me that this thing came down to the wire and they just couldn't make a deal with her. Is that the sense you're getting?
It definitely wasn't that night. It's not like it's not like she said that night. Like when she told Jesse on the couch there, they were like, "Oh shit, she just rejected us. We got to find a bachelorette." They knew that she had not accepted the role, but I think because of the way the finale played out, they knew that everybody was going to want an explanation as to why they didn't choose her. Because if they don't bring her out a second time, and then after two segments with Joey and Kelsey, they're like, "And our next bachelorette, Jen," people will be like, "Okay, you know, give her a little golf clap, you know, all right." But it would have been like, "Wait a second, how do you not choose Daisy in this moment after everything we just saw?" So it made sense for them to bring her out, but I also think it undermined Jen as your bachelorette because it made it clear if Daisy wanted to be the bachelorette, she would have. Like, she turned it down, and they let her do it on, you know, live, which has never happened before either. So I think it kind of put Jen behind the eight ball getting announced after Daisy just says, "Yeah, I don't, you know, this, I'm happy and I'm healthy for the first time in a year. And I just basically don't want to put myself through that." And I totally get it.
Yeah. She's been in bed for 2 years.
Yeah. It's just, I get it. And that was the one thing I was saying all year was once I knew that Daisy didn't win, I was like, look, she's got the story. She had gained over 500,000 followers on Instagram during this season, which is the most of any contestant since COVID.
Wow.
And
they have those stats.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. her and Maria both her and Maria got over 500,000 this year and nobody else outside of Kelsey. When she was announced as spoiled as the winner.
Well, that's an important metric.
150. Yeah. So they were blowing everybody out of the water.
Yeah.
But so then, I mean, that's the next question. So the whole want thing was, if you're not going to pick Daisy, then let's pick the spicy woman from Canada with attitude, as Petros Papadakis calls her, overly available Greek girl, Maria. Was Maria offered next? Is there any information in that? There's like, no what way, happened there?
She would have taken it. She would.
There's a lot of rumors floating around. Some people said she turned it down, which I don't believe for a second.
Nope.
There is rumors floating around. Actually, Wells reported it on his podcast, Mr. Bachelor in Paradise Bartender. Yeah. Wells reported on his podcast. He heard that Maria asked for too much money, and they said, "No, we're moving off you. We're going to go with somebody else who can get."
Wow.
Like she started reading her own press clippings and was too demanding, and apparently was asking for things that they just weren't going to offer her. Like, I guess she wanted her friend to be her producer. This is literally coming out of Wells' mouth, and it's not like Wells is, you know, Mr. Spoiler Guy, but clearly he has an in with it's people and production. So
yeah, but he's a company man. They're feeding him the information. This is like when Rick Bucher would give you some information about Kobe. It's Rick Bucher's telling you exactly what Kobe wants you to know because Rick Bucher's Kobe's guy. Wells is the Bachelor's guy. So that's the Bachelor shitting on Maria because they couldn't make a deal.
That's
a fact.
It makes sense to me that she probably started reading her own press clippings because she got such a big following and she was just like, and I don't fault her. She wanted to get, you know, she wanted to, let me use a sports term. She wanted to get her bag. So she wanted to get her bag. And the show said, look, we know we could get somebody else for cheaper and we're not going to pay you that. Whatever number she threw out. But that's the rumor, was that she was difficult during negotiations. So they just moved on from her and went with Jen. And look,
and it gives them a chance to go Asian because they've never gone Asian before. And that's important to them, is to kind of hit all these things.
I think one of the things that proves that Jen was not that Jen was, well, first off, Jen was clearly not their first choice. Daisy was their first choice. She didn't want it. You can say that probably Maria was their second choice. Like I said, Maria and Daisy gained over 500,000 followers this year. It just hasn't happened in 4 years. It's just crazy how popular they got on social media. So why wouldn't you want someone with a 500,000 person following? Going into finale night, Jen had 80,000. Like, it doesn't make sense to choose Jen for this show. Not saying that she's not going to be a good bachelorette. She'll be fine. But for this show purposes, I didn't really see, like I said, that, you know, you kind of put her in the backseat when Daisy rejected it live. And then you're like, okay, here's our bachelorette. The other thing that's very glaring is they released the 28 men who could possibly be on Jen season. They'll end up cutting two or three. She'll probably start with 25. But of the 28 men, there's two Asian men on the list. Like when you cast Charity as the bachelorette and when you cast Rachel Lindsay as the bachelorette, you didn't throw two black men in your cast, you know? So I think,
I mean, there's two Asian men every single season. That's the normal breakdown. You figure if you have an Asian bachelorette, you might increase it from two to six or whatever.
Yeah. You would think you would do that. Even if Jen told them, hey, I don't like Asian men, I've never dated any, I don't know what her preference is, but even if she told production, I don't date Asian men, they're still going to throw six to eight in there because it's your first Asian bachelorette. So why wouldn't you, if you're so gung-ho about representation and getting Asian representation with your lead, that's great. But why are you only giving her two Asian men? It makes no sense at all. And it just proves that she certainly wasn't their first choice. And look, they always cast the contestants before they choose their lead. That's known throughout the industry. It's known throughout this show. They're always casting, and they're not when you're going through your casting process as a contestant, they don't tell you who the lead is because they don't want it getting leaked. So they ask who you're interested in, like, hey, what do you like from this season? And I'm sure some guys threw out Jen's name, but it's just very bizarre to have your first Asian lead and give her two out of 28 men, maybe a third with some sort of Asian background. Like, it's a joke.
And I mean, a couple things off of this. It wouldn't be hard to add a few more Asian guys. She's Vietnamese. All they would have to do is like a casting call in the banquet room at Commerce Casino. And they could have added six Asians in like 10 minutes. Also, if Maria was a bachelorette, I would have gotten the answer to one of the biggest unanswered questions of this previous season. One of the biggest unanswered questions was, what's the deal with Maria's father? Like, he looks way too eccentric, and I was just waiting for the reveal to be like, yeah, that's a picture of him when he was the bassist in Great White.
He looks like an 80s cover band or
right. And at the very least, if she was a bachelorette, I could have found out that information, which is really a drag. Did you ever get any information on her old man? Because he was a mystery figure.
He literally owns a sprinkles company,
that's boring.
He owns a company that makes sprinkles, not sprinkles cupcakes. He makes the sprinkles that go on things. It's just bizarre real. When you look
that's at it. Front, just like, what? Dude, he's in the witness protection program. Yeah, fuck out of here.
So, I think that I know they spoke to Maria. Why wouldn't you? She's in the top four. And, you know, by choosing Jen, I'm a big stats guy. Jen's season is the 21st season of The Bachelorette, the previous 20 seasons of The Bachelorette. Although we had two seasons where there were two women, Gabby and Rachel, and then Claire and Tayshia. So technically 22 women had been The Bachelorette. 20 of those 22 finished in the top four of their season. The only two that finished outside the top four were Hannah Brown, who finished seventh, and Katie Thurston, who finished
11th. That's right, Katie Thurston. Yeah,
those are the only two that ever they chose for their bachelorette lead who finished outside the top four. Now, Jen finished fifth. It's not like they went off the board and totally went, well, where is this coming from? I just don't think that, you know, Maria had her story. She was kind of the villain. She was kind of the firecracker of the season. Daisy obviously had the deaf and hard of hearing community strongly behind her. She's written a children's book. Like, we all know Daisy's story. She would have fit perfect as the bachelorette. What's Jen's story? You know, she had a one-on-one in LA before they even started travel, was her only one-on-one. Remember, they went surfing and all that stuff, but
yep.
She didn't have like this backstory of all season. You were like, wow.
No, she's fun.
She was just there.
She's fun chick. She's fun chick. And that's the thing. I think they even admitted that when they introduced her as the bachelorette, like Joey's just like, you know, tell America about yourself. Like, and then she said something like, oh, they're going to find there's a lot about me that they don't know. It's like, they're almost in a point where they're admitting to us. She didn't really get an edit for us to get to know her. She's just some fun, short, good looking Asian chick.
Yeah. Now, obvious third choice.
Yeah. Now, scandal wise, what happened behind the scenes? First of all, you just mentioned Gabby. I had no idea that she came out. I had no idea she had a girlfriend.
Oh, everybody knows that.
The lead on a franchise comes out, and I didn't know about it. That's how oblivious I am to the off the track trafficking. But what scandalous stuff happened in this season? What was your season like in Spoilerville?
This was one of the most bizarre seasons ever. So, this show ended filming about a week before Thanksgiving, mid-November. 2 weeks later, on November 30th, I gave everyone the spoilers for the whole season. Every rose, every date, every elimination, all the way up.
What a freaking legend.
The ending. And every single thing that I posted was correct. Except I had Daisy winning and Kelsey as two.
Wow.
So, wow. And then here's, and then, and so about a month ago. So, you know, when the show is airing, the final couple is privately seeing each other in houses purchased, Airbnbs in the Los Angeles area, yep. Encino, Woodland Hills,
Burbank.
They rent a different house every time for the couple to basically bang for 3 days.
We've seen Ari Lyandike, shitty bachelor, broke up with Rebecca, what's her name, in one of them.
Yep.
Looked like Burbank to me.
Yeah. They're all over. So
yep.
What happened was about a month before the finale, Joey posted a TikTok and he was just, I don't even remember what it was. It might even have been on his Instagram stories. And then either the same day or a day later, Kelsey posted a TikTok talking about her mother. And it clear, and she, if you look at the background of the TikTok, it was clear. When you look at it, you think it's Southern California. It didn't look like a background of Louisiana. But still, it was just like, well, she could be in California at a friend's house. Well, it ended up being figured out by people on the internet, one person in particular, who found out what, and this was like over the weekend this happened, and then on Wednesday of the following week, 3 days after they had left, that house was identified, and they figured out the wall that was behind Joey and the background where she was in the backyard filming this TikTok matched up to the house that was found, what they call happy couple weekends, used for Joey and Kelsey. So once you figure out who Joey is in a happy couple weekend with, he clearly wouldn't be engaged to Daisy and be spending a happy couple with Kelsey. So technically, Joey and Kelsey ended up spoiling their own season. So about a month. So for 3 months, I had the wrong ending spoiler. And then in February, about, I think it was February 20th, maybe the 19th, something like that, is when this was brought to my attention. They're like, Steve, somebody identified this house in LA. Wow. And look at Joey's background, look at Kelsey's background. They were obviously in the same house this weekend. And I was like, well, damn it. My spoiler's wrong. But here's the interesting thing, if that wasn't interesting enough already.
It is.
This has never happened to me. I've been spoiling since 2009, Jason Mesnick's season. I've never had any connection to any contestant ever, not even indirectly. My niece goes to college at the University of Tampa. Daisy's sister goes to college at the University of Tampa.
Stop it.
My niece is best friends and roommates at the University of Tampa.
Stop it.
With Daisy's sister.
Stop it.
Wow. How about that?
One, there's a University of Tampa. The first breaking news.
That's where Roberto, remember Roberto on Alley season? He played baseball there. Because his hometown date was at the University of Tampa. He went on the baseball field. But
yes.
They're the Buccaneers, right? They're the Buccaneers.
Yeah, Buccaneers. No, they're the they're not the Tampa. Yeah, I'm totally blanking on, anyway.
Well, of course, because who would know that?
Yeah.
That's crazy. What a crazy coincidence. And Steve, I know, I mean, did you have some suicidal ideations as you are so prideful in your tremendous record at spoiling The Bachelor that you misidentified the winner? Was that a tough professional moment for you?
Well, once the season got rolling, there were people online, obviously, who follow me And I had tweeted something out, because my niece kind of went viral on TikTok she's the biggest fan. She's like a diehard fan of the Anaheim Ducks. And she did a TikTok that ended up going viral. The Ducks saw it and she got to meet her favorite player. Well, I put that on my Instagram back in January and I knew that people would make the connection. But people that saw it then went to my niece's Instagram page and they saw that a lot of her photos are with Adeline Kent, Daisy's sister. And people started saying like, oh, that's how Reality Steve knows Daisy one because his niece knows the Kents. And so I addressed it while I still thought Daisy was the winner. And I said, look, yes, I'm not trying to hide the fact that my niece is best friends with Daisy's sister. Like they are, not only are they best friends at Tampa, they're roommates. They live in the same quarters together. Jason, you'll be happy to know that I believe Adeline is coming to the party this year. Like they're that close. Olivia's, wow. My niece is bringing Adeline to the party this year. That Beckner
is in. That is Beckner crazy. Should go too. Beckner yeah. should be there
he
too.
He should. He won't, but he should.
When is it? When is it again?
The day of your son's birthday, probably.
That's right. No. It's
June 5th.
It's the weekend after your son's birthday.
Uh-huh.
And I'm going to repeat this. You know, you always say, whenever Steve's party comes up, you're always like, yeah, it's my son's birthday. And I'm gonna say the same thing I do every year. But the difference is Steve's party is only once a year.
That's true. That's a good point. And maybe my buddy David Bray will make an appearance as he's attended Steve's parties before.
He has not RSVP'd this year, and I'm basically tapped out. But
wow.
Ouch.
Unbelievable. I'll reach out to him.
This year I'm on a tight – I can't go over the amount of people that I told them. But
oh, my God.
Yeah. Yep.
Hey, I'm sorry.
There's not even room for me, Jason. See?
Well, there will
be.
I couldn't make it if I tried.
Steve, though. I interrupted Steve. So she'll probably be at the party. How did it play out ultimately with your niece and her sister?
Well, here's the thing. When the women were announced back in September, like here's the potential cast list for Joey's women. I didn't even know till that day that Adeline, which is Daisy's sister and my niece's best friend, my niece texted me that day. She's like, oh my God, Adeline's sister is on The Bachelor. I still have the text. And I'm like, she's like, I can't believe she didn't tell me. I said, Olivia, that's my niece's name. I'm like, of course she couldn't tell you. And she's like, yeah, the Kents didn't want me to know because they didn't want to, anything to get to it. Because the Kents know that Adeline's best friend is uncle is Reality Steve. Yeah. Yeah. So they didn't want anything.
This is incredible.
So when I put the spoiler out there, first off, my niece doesn't watch the show. She did this season because, of the connection. But at no point from November 30th until February 20th, at no point did the Kents ever say anything to my niece like, hey, your uncle might want to look into that. It ain't Daisy. Like, they never said anything. Everyone just assumed, and people still assume to this day, they're now assuming that the Kents fed me raw false information on purpose to promote their daughter. And I'm like, I don't know what to tell you. I can't, if you already have it in your head and you're that much of a conspiracy theorist, there's nothing I can do that's going to change your mind. I have no reason to lie about this. The Kent family, Daisy, Adeline, none of them since September through as we currently speak have ever said anything to my niece about what happened on the show. Period. End of story. Of course. So, That's all I can report. Look, I think I had everything right about this season except the ending. And I even got the bonus ending. Like the day when I changed the spoiler to Kelsey after they were caught at the Happy Couple house back in mid-February, when I changed it to that, that was the day that I came out with, oh, and by the way, here's the, the thing that Jesse Palmer's been promoting all season that's never happened before. Daisy goes to her room. But it's just funny how people are still under the assumption that I was fed wrong information on purpose by the Kent family because they wanted their daughter's name out there or something like that. It's just like that couldn't be any further from the truth. But yeah, it was crazy. Like the one season, like, do you know the odds? I mean, I'm a big odds guy. What are the odds that my niece coming from Texas, the Kents, Adeline is from Minnesota.
Unreal.
Both go to college at the University of Tampa, find each other, become best friends, and then it just so happens that Adeline's sister goes on the show that I cover and have covered for 15 years. Like, the odds are, I wouldn't even know where to put those odds. Probably in the gazillions.
No, it's evidence that we live in a simulation, because that's the only way this could happen. We're in a big game of The Sims right now, and that's the only explanation.
I've been covering this show since 2002. I've never had a connection to any contestant.
That's crazy.
And this season, I had an indirect connection to the girl who, for 3 months, I thought won and didn't. But yeah, so that was crazy. Like, the whole thing with them spoiling their season because Kelsey filmed a TikTok in a backyard of a house that people recognized wasn't Louisiana, and then they were able to find the house that was used. Like, it was madness. It was absolute madness. But it made it really interesting. I'm glad I was able to change the spoiler a month out. You know, like I said, about mid-February is when I was like, hey, it is Kelsey. I've been wrong about Daisy. It's Kelsey, and here's what happens in the finale. And yeah, it obviously ended up playing out, but yeah, what a wild fucking ride.
And to add to the 6 degrees of separation, and I'm going to make this about me, because it's our podcast. I just got my cochlear implant. So if you think about it, your niece just happened to be roommates with the sister of the woman on The Bachelorette who got a cochlear implant and has made it a part of her journey and a part of her messaging. And I just got the cochlear implant. So I'm going to shoehorn myself into this small, small world of happenings. All that shit's great, and I'm guessing the show was just over the moon excited that you got their spoiler wrong. I'm sure there were Bachelor producers giving each other high fives.
Yeah.
But was there any scandals within the cast of women that you found out during the show? And I will say this, if you had dug up anything about Sydney, who is just a wretched, evil person, I'll take any of that information you have.
Stu's really worked up about Sydney, who I contend is a victim of mental illness rather than just a mean person.
The only thing about Sydney is she's from Rhode Island, and she knows Ashley, I, and Jared. Like, she's good friends with them. And they, I don't know if she has babysat for them, but they are definitely friends because they both live in Rhode Island. I'm trying to think, was there any scandal? I mean, and if you want to say that the Daisy, you know, rap video where this guy's talking about licking his sack, I guess that was a scandal, but it never made any, you know, because there's the scandals that happen online in like the subculture of the Bachelor world. And then does it make it to national news? Meaning, did Us Weekly, did People.com, did EW.com cover it, or E Online or ET? And the answer to that would be no. Daisy was in a rap video. I don't even know what year it came out, but the chorus was very, very sexually explicit. She didn't sing the words. The rapper in the video did. She was just kind of providing background lyrics. But when you got to the chorus, this guy's lyrics were about licking his sack. So,
yeah.
I mean, I guess that's – but it never made it mainstream. So I guess it wasn't much of a scandal. Although there was the – you know, as much as Daisy was loved by America as the public, the online community that knew about this hated her. Absolutely hated her. So – they didn't hate her. They just were very quick. They were just like, she's not this person that she's being portrayed. Look at this video. They had found out at one point she followed Donald Trump on Instagram. So that immediately people were calling her a MAGA girl. So it's just like, that's the way the internet runs. Like, you follow somebody, but then they started looking at Maria's follows and she followed Ben Shapiro. So all of a sudden she's the first on the
road. Oh, yeah. Oh.
So,
So, but I mean, we found out in the women tell all, and I was so underwhelmed because, you know, Sydney and Leia, they didn't get their comeuppance. you could tell that they were very affected, and it was told that they got bullied online and were the victims of online bullying. Were you following that in real time? And it's been overused nowadays. This online bullying is kind of a way to get sympathy or to get people off your back. So I never know how severe stuff like that is. Could you verify that they were indeed, severely abused, cyber bullied online?
I can't verify it because I don't remember either of them posting receipts, because if you're going to say you've been bullied online, I think nowadays you have to take screenshots of the stuff that you get and post it, because other than that, anybody can say I've been bullied online. But do I doubt that they were? I tend to give them the benefit of the doubt and say they probably were, because I know how this fan base reacts. I mean,
yeah, of course.
Rachel started getting racist comments at the Final Four Rose Ceremony when Joey picked Rachel over Maria. All of Maria's stands went nuts and started making, you know, racial, and Rachel had to put out a Instagram post about, look, I didn't do anything wrong. I accepted a rose and you guys are jumping down my throat and getting mad at me. It's like, what did I do? She did nothing wrong other than Joey chose Rachel over Maria, but Maria's fan base, which had grown to over 500,000, went nuts and started throwing a bunch of racial epithets toward Rachel's way. And it's unfortunate, but this is what this fan base does. They latch on to people that they really like. And if you say anything disparaging about them, or you don't like them, or you say, oh, Maria's so annoying, I don't like the way she talks or whatever, then Maria's fans just come after you. And it's just mudslinging central. And unfortunately, Rachel, for doing nothing other than getting a rose over her, took a lot of heat racially, for God knows what reason, other than fans just being idiots, you know?
Now, we've seen that they're going hard on the Golden Bachelor, and of late, the last few seasons of Bachelor in Paradise have been extremely lackluster. Now we're learning that the one good thing about a potential next season of Bachelor in Paradise is Maria going through it with the cue ball and a sock, but that doesn't look like that's going to happen if she's turned down Bachelorette. Is Bachelor in Paradise going the way of the dodo in lieu of the newly popular Golden Bachelor with all these old people on it?
For 2024, it is. Yeah, there's no paradise this summer. After the Jen season of the Bachelorette films, which starts tonight, they are filming Golden Bachelorette. So, and it's probably going to be the woman. They haven't announced it yet, but all signs point to it being the woman that got rejected at Final Two of Gary's season, which
the is one that fucked Prince.
The one that banged Prince. Yeah,
Leslie. Well, that's the right choice.
Yeah.
If you're gonna, you know, she was by far the hottest of the octogenarian Bachelor, Golden Bachelor ladies. Well, I'm not too happy about that, Jason.
No, it's horrible. I did not know about this until right now, that there's no Bachelor in Paradise for the first time.
Nope.
No Bachelor since we
started. For the first time since, 2020, COVID year, they didn't have it. But yeah, it's been, so whenever it started, yeah, because this past summer was the ninth season of Bachelor in Paradise. So go back 10 years because 2020 didn't have one.
Dude, Wells has got to be pissed.
He married that sitcom chick, so he's fine.
The thing about the Golden Bachelor, it's like we understand that why it's hit big and why it's very sentimental, and it's got a heart to it. Yeah. Not easy to make fun of.
Yeah.
We saw the gentleman there in the crowd the other night again crying, Gary, and whatnot.
Yeah.
Did we ever close the loop on that guy? There seemed to be some like circumstance and rumor about him. Did he walk away unscathed through all that, and he's still with his
grandma? That was a hatchet job. I think we might have talked to Steve about this.
We did, but I'm just wondering
if it was a complete hatchet job. And look, I'm no Golden Bachelor stan, but I mean, let this guy live.
Yeah, he never caught anything negative out of that. I mean, he addressed it when he was asked in and after his finale aired, because it came out the day of the finale. So he was asked it like, hey, an ex of yours came out, and he basically just said like, yeah, you know, people have a lot to say, and I'm just happy with, you know, my Teresa, and we're looking to the future. So he gave like the Mark McGuire at the Supreme Court answer. Like, I'm not talking about the past. Let's talk about the future.
Now, I know you know there's two Asians in Jen's cast, and I'm guessing you have filtered every single individual in this cast, the 25 guys, whatever. Any skeletons in the closet unveiled yet? Any plantation parties or anything?
Will they be trotting out Blake Moynes again? They can't give us enough Blake Moynes. It's only more Blake Moynes, never less.
As far as the guys, I've identified all their last names and Instagram accounts.
Of course you have.
So they are out there.
What a fucking legend.
My Instagram feed and my highlights. Noah from Noah and Abigail, his brother is on the show, Aaron Erb. Who else? There is a guy. Yeah, you look at their followers to see other. There's a guy on this season that's got 175,000 followers already. He's an Instagram influencer in San Diego. And then there's somebody that's got like 14,000 followers, and everyone else is like under 7. Like, it's just, these guys are, they're a bunch of nobodies that nobody knows. You know, why would you follow them? They don't know them. But you look at, you take the screenshot of their numbers now, and then you look at it when the show ends airing in probably September. And you're like, wow, look at how popular you can become just by going on the show. So Noah's brother's on the show. This was kind of funny. Former tight end and special teams player at Ole Miss was part of the potential cast list, and even got Lane Kiffin at his press conference 2 days ago to talk about the fact that one of his former players is in the cast list. So
that's amazing.
I ran that on my podcast. That was interesting. But I think that guy might have gotten cut because his Instagram profile is now public. And if he didn't have his phone, he wouldn't have been able to touch it. So unless somebody is controlling his Instagram account, what? I think he got cut preseason. I think he got cut before season started.
They go dark while they're shooting.
Yeah, Jonathan Hess. I think he got cut.
Yeah. When does the Bachelorette season start?
Starts filming tonight.
Filming tonight, but when does it air? September.
Jesse said July. So it'll start July and go through September, 11 episodes or whatever. And then the one thing that's different about this season, even though just starting tonight, is so they'll have limo entrances tonight and tomorrow, instead of the guys moving into the mansion, they're heading overseas immediately. They're not even going to US City to start. They're going to New Zealand.
Wow.
And Australia are the first two stops.
That's a lot of plane tickets.
Yeah. And they are not using the mansion tonight. They are using the mansion that was used for Listen to Your Heart. Remember that show?
No.
The Bachelor show where it was a bunch of musicians that aired during.
Oh, COVID. Yeah. Yes. Yeah, I do kind of remember that. Yeah. It was like
American Idol. I don't know if it's because they're only using the mansion for one night and not staying there for, you know, the first two or three episodes. Yeah. But they're using, because there was an interview that came out today with Jen from ET, and she's standing outside of a mansion. And even the interviewer says like, hey, and you're shooting this season at a different mansion. Look at the mansion behind us. And it's not the regular mansion, but they're only doing one episode in LA, the limo entrances and cocktail party. And then they're heading out tomorrow to New Zealand, and then they go to Australia. And then I haven't found out after that, but I know they're going to a US city at the end of April.
So Cleveland, they're going to be all fired. They're like, we're going to Des Moines.
Yeah.
And they're going to be all pumped up about it. Steve.
So we got LA first episode, New Zealand episode 2, Australia episode 3, the episode before hometowns looks to be a US city that I know about. So I need to find episodes 4, 5, and 6 where they're headed.
You got it.
I'll find out eventually.
You'll have it in a week or two. Now there's been a great many televised bachelor weddings. Jade and Tanner comes to mind. That's where the disgusting Nick Vile was able to sex Caitlin Bristow. Of course, there was Marcus and Lacey, who reportedly never saw each other again after their fake wedding. of course, Trista and Ryan, so many over the years. Can we expect Braden and Christina Mandrell to be the next Bachelor made for TV wedding event, as it seems they are going quite strong?
I can't imagine we are, only because they were not a couple that met on TV.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, they did that. Christina wasn't on Paradise. After Paradise. So I can't imagine. I mean, I know they showed them at Gary and Teresa's wedding, and that's where they introduced them, and that's where Braden proposed to her. But I don't see them getting a wedding. Yeah.
Wait, the Golden Bachelor married the lady?
Yeah, they got married in January. Like the first Thursday in January, January 4th.
Yeah, on TV, Brian. Come on.
Yeah.
Get with it.
Yeah.
Okay. Jason, anything else for our dear friend Reality Steve, who we're blessed to have to wrap up the season of The Bachelor?
He's already given us way too much of his time.
He's the best. Yeah.
Over promise or under promise, over delivered.
He's a man. Usual. Yep.
And we'll see you at The Bachelor. The Reality Steve fan party in Vegas. Right. I will see you there.
Yeah, we'll have to find a reason to podcast before July, but we'll figure something out here, Jason, because the audience demands it. Steve, we really appreciate you taking the time. You are a legend. We are lucky to have you. Thank you very much.
Thanks for having me on, guys. Go Cobra Kai.
There we go. For Jason Stewart, for special guest Reality Steve Puzzle. My name is Ryan Beck. This is the Bachelor on ABC with Chris Harrison. You crying in a limo sent home. How embarrassing, the most dramatic ever. And that's what we like. Play your cards right, you might end up on Paradise. Here's the key to the fantasy suite. Balls deep so you can sleep with your third or fourth girl in a week. We making a connection, we falling in love. We chilling in the mansion, outside's the hot tub. We starting in LA and then we travel the world. We toasting champagne, we got 32 girls. Who gets a hometown and who's the most hated? Who had the best date and who's getting eliminated? We always speculating like you wouldn't believe. But I cheated, logged on to Reality Steve. So it's the Bachelor lifestyle, we living it. Yeah, it's the baller lifestyle, we living it. Yeah, it's the Bachelor lifestyle, we living it. Yeah, it's the baller lifestyle. The Bachelor lifestyle, we living it. Yeah, it's the baller lifestyle, we living it. Yeah, it's the Bachelor lifestyle, we living it.